This is the Pete and Kimber podcast.
Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, how you going?
You know what? I'm good. We're breaking. We're going on holiday for a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, hang on. While you're speaking, I'm just going to do my little out of office.
I've done mine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did it work out okay?
I think so. I was just honest.
Oh, what's your out of office say?
Hi, thank you very much for reaching out to me. To be honest with you, I never read emails anyway, but if it's really urgent, you can flick me an email on, I gave my other address.
Yeah.
And I'll be back.
Do you give another address?
Oh, just in case, just another place that I don't read emails.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
And then I just said, I'll be back April 15th. Have you had fun this year?
This year, I'm having an absolute blast.
Hasn't it been good?
I'm having so much fun. I'm loving it.
I 20 years I've been in this industry. And this is
20.
20.
How? You're so young.
Thank you.
But
I started when I was 17.
God, how'd you jag that?
Well,
17.
It's a stupid story. It's a dumb story. I was on a community radio station, then my cousin entered me into a competition and the prize was employment on 92.9 and I won it.
I mean, how'd you even get onto community radio at that time?
You didn't have to do much. Like, honestly, it was this place called Groove 1017. It was an R&B and hip-hop station.
Was that the one that had the afro hair?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. And I was filleting fish at mum and dad's shop, and they came on the radio and said, hey, we're looking for announcers, no experience necessary. And I'd been spruking on the microphone at the Midland Military Markets for a few weeks, and I thought, I could do that.
Sell some fish to me.
Okay. Let's see, it'll be Sunday afternoon. There's probably people walking
on by. Is
that
when it's fresh or is that like, what's a good day to go and get the fish?
No, like for us, we'd get our fish, like new stuff coming in every day.
Oh, okay.
Right? So it's always fresh. Okay. I'll sell. Yeah, I'm just trying to get myself into the headspace and then, okay. Hey, you pretty lady.
Did you find that approach worked often?
A couple of times it did. Yeah, a couple of times. No. Hey, pretty lady. You look like you could do with a few oysters tonight. Is that your bloke on your arm? Hey, you two. I reckon tonight, you two, half a dozen oysters and.
Oh, so you were personalising it. You weren't just standing on the mic spruking going, come and get your snapper.
No.
Snapper for $10 a kilo. I don't know how much
because
snapper
that, is. Well, at that stage. Yes, mate. What? He's outside. Do you want to go see him? My son's in here.
And he's asking for Rami.
I know.
Which says a lot.
It's dangerous,
really.
Yeah, because, like, you could stand there. And my natural inclination was I could stand there and tell you that the fish is, like, you know, 20% off or whatnot.
Mm.
Or I could get you a little bit more invested and just have a bit of fun with you. And, I'd clear the place. I'd absolutely clear the place.
Anyway, what's in the podcast? There's so much. We shouldn't have talked for this long, but, you know.
Fred, again, what's all the hype about?
Splendour in the Grass has been cancelled.
Have you received a call letting you know that you have an STI?
That's a good chat, actually.
We got calls.
Throwback Thursday, Tash Peterson in a stoush, the vegan activist.
Yep. Yay or nay, Rami and I both said something that could get us cancelled.
Yeah, I do think you've been cancelled.
Thanks.
Take this for take that. Which was people putting themselves in vulnerable positions so they could win Take That concert tickets.
Yeah.
That was quite fun.
How was Hannah's fear? Hannah's fear is
Hannah's
amazing.
Fear is weird and you guys made it weirder.
I know, it was great.
We talked about Rebel Wilson's allegations against Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge there yet, I reckon. And the producer wrap, the best and worst of the week. That's a podcast. Have a happy Easter and we'll catch you on April 15 live back on Mix 94.5.
But Kerrod's still going to be here, so keep listening to all the best bits.
Have fun, Kerrod.
Bye.
Pete and Kimber.
Yesterday around about this time, we were catching up with our mate Ben Cousins, who was telling us about a bloke by the name of Fred again.
I live opposite Langley Park in the city. There was 100 workers there putting up this monster stage and infrastructure for this concert that no one's name is on the bill yet, but we're assuming there's going to be 30-odd thousand some stage over the weekend.
At Langley Park
at
this
Langley
weekend.
Park. So, you know, I'm happy to strike a deal with the Easter Bunny. I'll go without all Easter eggs this year if I can get one ticket to Fred again.
Now, Fred again is a 30-year-old English record producer. He's a DJ as well. He's been in the industry for a while. He's worked with the likes of Stormzy and Ed Sheeran. In 2019, how's this for a stat? Almost 30% of the number one singles in the UK charts were produced by him. And he only played his first Australian gig in August last year. Every East Coast show has been sold out. The one in Perth this weekend, which has turned out to be him, sold out in 2 hours. 35,000 people, Kimber.
Just going to Langley Park and broken by Ben Cousins.
Yep.
Who knew?
I didn't know
Fred again, but also not particularly my music scene. But, like, he's a really big deal. I wanted to find out more about him. People say they particularly love him because he samples real-life conversations and apparently incredible tracks. Apparently, he's quite humble. He's a kind and humble person, and people like that. But someone who loves him is Shan, one of our weekend announcers at Mix. Hi, Shan.
Good morning.
Shan, you got tickets?
Absolutely, last night. Very lucky.
Tell us why we need to know Fred again.
So everything you said is correct. He's so humble. When you look at him, he doesn't look like a very successful international DJ. You could see him walking down the street right now. You wouldn't know that that's him. No costumes, just him in his plain black or white T-shirt. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
If you imagine a 30-year-old DJ from the UK, that's him.
Right.
He's humble, he's nice, he interacts with his fans. People meet him, he has a full-blown conversation, he'll invite you to the show, he'll remember your name. Now, yes, he's a DJ, he makes a lot of music, but it ranges. So I'm a massive electronic music girl, have seen so many live shows, I've seen Fred, nothing compares.
Really?
He's so talented, and his music ranges from, you know, he's worked with Skrillex, massive name, he's made dubstep and drum and bass. He also does house music, and then there's, yeah, this is a good one.
This is a good one.
Play this over and over if you can.
Okay.
Now, he also on his album has some songs, as you said, that are just samples of things in nature, conversations he's had, voicemails that have been left, and he mixes it all together to make a beat. He's incredible at what he does.
Yeah, people said he's very unique. So I think that's where, and also when you mentioned Skrillex, because I think sort of pandemic time too, Skrillex hadn't released anything for a little while. And then Fred again created a number of tracks from some of Skrillex's great music that people hadn't heard of as much. And so that really skyrocketed his career as well.
Now, look, let's be honest here. If this guy, is this guy, do you think he's selling out gigs the way he is? If he's dropping tickets the same way like a Splendor in the Grass does? Or do you think people are getting FOMO? Because I've just heard that his way of selling tickets to his gigs is he'll come, they'll start setting up his gear earlier in the week like they have at Langley Park.
Yeah.
But then, like, the night before the show or something, he'll just go, all right, guys, here's the link, have at it.
Yeah, a massive part of his marketing strategy is purely the hype. He would still sell out. If he announced, I'm coming in 6 months, buy the tickets, it would still be a sellout overnight. But that is what creates this conversation, you know? We're now talking about him on Mix, where you normally wouldn't, is because the whole city is thinking, is he coming? Will I get a ticket? People start, he leaves little Easter eggs on his social media. So about 6 weeks ago, he posted something. There was a Vegemite jar. The song playing said, soon. So super fans like me say, Vegemite jar, soon. He's coming to Australia.
Wow.
People start thinking of these own ideas. People create their own videos saying, this is what we know. When is he coming? Where do we get tickets? And it's sort of a small family type community. You need to follow him on everything to know where to get tickets and
it's
when.
It's a small family of hundreds of thousands
exactly.
of fans.
And he still treats it as if there's only 10 of us.
2.5 million. Two and a half million followers on Instagram.
So 35,000 last night sold out. So see you at Langley Park.
Yeah,
so
right.
With Ben Cousins. Ben Cousins mentioned he sent Rami a text message this morning going, hey, I got tickets. I'm very excited.
I'll pop Ben on my shoulders.
Yeah, do that. all right. Thanks, Shan.
Thanks.
If you're a massive Fred Again fan, we want to know what it does it for you this morning. Did you get tickets to the gig? Are you going to Langley Park this weekend? A bit of Fred Again chat because he's a real enigma for us.
I mean, I'm happy to jump on board if it's something great. It's one of those, it took me years to realise Harry Styles was a legend. So sometimes the hype freaks people out and goes, oh, I don't want to like it just because everyone else does, but maybe he's as amazing as everyone says he is.
Daniel in Wattle Grove, you're one of the people that missed out, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Pete and Kimber. So I worked late last night. I didn't get to see socials. I got home and, jumped on Ticketek and unfortunately missed out.
Too late. So are you going to hang about? Is this the kind of thing that scalpers are going to try and sell them for a hell of a lot more?
Yeah, I reached out on Facebook to see if any mates had any spares. I jumped on to Gumtree, couldn't get anything. People were scalping them for $50, $100 more than what they're selling for. I tried every avenue last night. I was desperate. I wanted to give the artist his royalties and what he deserved. I didn't want to sort of sit down in Langley Park and just listen to his music. I want him to obviously get what he deserves for it.
Yeah, by buying the tickets. Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Imogen and Wellard, you also don't have tickets. You're not happy.
No, I'm definitely not happy at all.
Imogen, did you? So no clues that he was coming. You had no idea and it was all too late.
It wasn't even that. I had already had Easter weekend plans, like a lot of my friends. And by the time we were like, should we get refunds on the things we have? Should we get? They were sold out.
Imogen, what track should I be playing if I want to have a party in my living room?
All of them. Album on repeat for the whole weekend.
Okay.
Wow. Just the whole lot.
It's just
the whole lot. Yeah, 100%. I'll be camping out at Langley Park this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is that your plans?
Yeah. Well, that's because Kerrod.
I'll get the vibe. Get the vibe.
Kerrod wanted to know what your plans for Saturday night were. Well, I'm not even sure. I don't know what he means by that. If it was just.
We're all just going to camp out together.
Okay.
I don't think that's exactly what he meant.
Is that what you meant, Kerrod?
No, that is not what I meant.
Okay, Lauren in Wattle Grove, what do you know about Fred again?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So my friend lives in Perth and she went to the UK for a holiday and she posted on socials that she was devastated because she didn't get a ticket from Fred again. Hmm. Anyway, tagged him in the post. He then replied to her, messaged her and was like, hey, heard you didn't get tickets. Here's a couple of tickets to my show. So he invited her personally to come to his show because she missed out on tickets.
Oh, he's the nice guy everyone says he is.
So nice.
Wow. And yep. did she tell you, like, she went to his show, did he ask her back afterwards or did they hang out afterwards or anything like that?
Yeah, so he was just a lovely guy, apparently. Just like a friend, an old friend, just to catch up.
Pete was
so,
having trouble grasping the idea that someone would do something nice for someone without sexual gratification.
That's
off the back
not what
of it.
I meant. That's
it
not
is
no,
what
it's
you
not.
Meant.
I didn't. No, I didn't mean as in did he ask back to your place. I was trying to get to. Mate, oh, you know, it'd just be nice just to hang out with this Fred again.
Like Kerrod politely saying, what's her plans for Saturday night? Is she going to go hang out at Langley Park?
Come on.
You made it.
Be honest, that's not what Kerrod was asking.
All right, we've got Ben in East Perth. Ben, did you get tickets?
Good morning, guys.
What's Benny?
Hey, Cuzzy. How are you, mate?
I'm better now. I've managed to secure 8 tickets, so I'm going to be in the venue.
Okay, hang on, 8. Are you going to be the most popular guy there? Have you got all your friends trying to get in?
I'm just going to go down and enjoy it, yeah.
No, be honest, you're scalping them, aren't you, Ben? You're scalping them. You got your bots in there. Poor Imogen and Daniel can't get them, and then you're flogging them for an extra $100.
Hot property. I'm not on social media, actually, so I've had to rely on a good mate of mine who sort of got the tickets on my behalf for us. So I've landed on my feet, but it is a childlike excitement that I have for this concert. So,
great. Yeah, well, you broke the news to us yesterday, so we feel like you deserve the tickets. So, have a great time and report back.
I will do. I look forward to it. Have an amazing Easter, everyone.
Oh, yeah. You too, Benny.
Hey, Cuzzy, before you go, are you as excited as you were when you were taking your daughter to the Taylor Swift concert?
Oh, it's in that zone. That's where it's approaching. Yeah.
Okay. Very much
well
so.
Answered. Well answered, Ben Cousins. Thanks, mate. Good to catch up with you, brother. Have a good
Enjoy,
weekend.
Guys.
See you, mate.
See you later. Bye.
Oh, there you go. Massive, massive.
Oh,
absolutely
well,
huge.
If anyone wants to come to my place on the weekend, I'll be playing the record all weekend.
Kerrod?
I've got plans Saturday night. Sorry.
Horrible news overnight with Splendour in the Grass having been cancelled. Massive names were meant to perform there, including Kylie Minogue. And these guys, Perth band by the name of Old Mervs. Everybody's tiptoeing around why Splendour has been cancelled. We wanted to go right to the source. And Henry, the drummer for Old Mervs, who was meant to play at Splendour, joins us now. Good morning to you, mate.
G'day, how are we?
Oh, we're great. Henry, we're super disappointed to hear that Splendour in the Grass has been cancelled and it was a great opportunity for you guys to play. How are you feeling on the back of the news?
Yeah, a bit disappointed. Obviously, there was going to be a few more people than there is in Coogee where we grew up at Splendor. So it's annoying. It's probably a bit of a childhood one that we looked forward to for a while that we thought would never happen. And unfortunately, it might not. I don't know.
Mate, everybody's speculating as to why Splendor has been canned for this year. We've had even the people behind Splendor coming out just saying, we're taking a bit of a break, but not really lifting the lid on why. Kylie Minogue was meant to play there as well. I mean, it was meant to be huge. Can you tell us why it got cancelled? Like, properly tell us why it got cancelled.
I think it's probably, it was a ticket sales thing. It's been a very weird time in the music industry lately. Grooving the Moo was another one that got cancelled recently. Even Falls last year, these are all pretty big name festivals that GTM came out and openly admitted that there was like ticket issues. So I think, yeah, cost of living and things, everything's just very weird at the moment.
And, you know, we've been chatting that while we think that is part of the issue, the other thing is I'm like, I don't think it's that expensive. Tickets are $179 for a day pass now and $400 for 3 days. Now, I was referring to big day outs and, you know, all those sorts of gigs that we went to back in the 90s. That was 30 years ago and tickets then were $110. So tickets only being $60 more 30 years later, I can't justify that that's the problem. Like, I feel like, why aren't people going to festivals? And I feel for you guys because this is how we were introduced to great musicians like yourself. Like, there's so many people that are going to miss that opportunity now.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff, isn't it? Like I tend to agree. There's definitely an element of that. I think another thing you got to consider is, like, for someone going from Perth or Adelaide, you're looking at, like, you budget it and it's probably flights of $1,000.
Oh, more than that. Back. Henry, yeah, more than that, mate. Like a return flight for Perth at the moment, if you can bloody get one, right?
Yeah,
is going to cost you way more than $1,000. It's absolutely ridiculous. Then you're right. You throw hotels and all that sort of stuff into it as well. But you say things are getting a little bit weird. What I find unusual about this is that at the moment we've got it's almost like the clearest indication of the world changing a little bit sitting right in our laps. Langley Park this weekend, we've got a bloke by the name of Fred again. He's got 2.5 million followers on Instagram who literally dropped his ticket link ahead of a secret gig happening this weekend. And he sold 35,000 tickets in 2 hours. And those tickets aren't cheap either. So why are people buying tickets to a bloke like this, but they're not going to festivals anymore?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's, you're dead right. People are parting with silly, silly money to go and see Taylor Swift. So there's still an element of that. And I think arguably, like, there was a lot of people in the comment sections bagging out the lineup for Splendor this year, and perhaps they didn't nail it.
Do you think they got it wrong? Kylie Minogue headlining. Do you think they got Splendor in the Grass wrong?
Yeah, hard one. don't want to comment too hard on my end, but, like, there's definitely an element of maybe the demographic that goes to Splendor aren't necessarily fans of Kylie Minogue. I don't know. There's arguably people on that lineup. There wasn't enough. And there's oversaturation. You've got to remember these days. There's like 6 or 7 festivals now.
Yeah.
Post Malone played at the start of the year in Perth. How, like, to top Post Malone or Arctic Monkeys or any of these massive names, it's hard. And then you can go to Fred again as well for like a single night and people will go and do that. So it's just, I think a lot of it is coming down to artists that people want to see, and cost of living plays a part, but also, yeah, the expense of going to Splendor. I know my bandmate last year spent $700 on booze. So you add that to the flights and tickets, like, gets pretty ludicrous.
Yeah, you're just a couple of kids from Coogee who want to drink a couple of beers and do a couple of gigs.
And watch Jimmy Barnes and Cold Chisel.
Henry, just one more question before we let you go, right? If not Kylie Minogue, to sell the tickets, who do you think should have headlined Splendor?
Jeez, that is a great, great question.
Who would you have had?
Who would I've put on? Yeah. I mean, probably ACDC, but...
I think they're
probably
dead.
Probably not the nail it, yeah.
Aren't they all dead?
No, Pete, not yet. Not yet.
No.
Spiritually in your books, maybe.
The Pete and Kimber podcast.
Yesterday after the show, Kimber,
mm-hmm.
You mentioned a little something to me about what you used to do when you used to do late nights here on Mix. Right? A bit of a question in particular.
We were reminiscing about some of the things we've done in radio over the time. And I said, when I did a really late night show, actually it was not on Mix, but it was late nights. And I mean, it was 10 p.m. till midnight, Monday to Thursday. So we didn't think anyone was listening.
Mm.
And so we used to get away with doing more risque stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave you an example.
Yep. And I'd like to bring that example back this morning.
But it's not appropriate for breakfast.
I think it's fine. I think in 2024, we've come such a long way. I think it's perfectly fine to talk about. And honestly, I'm genuinely interested to hear from people out there who have gone through this and would be up for telling us their story.
Okay. I mean, basically, I don't want to get in trouble, but basically.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
It was, have you ever had to tell anyone you've had an STI?
Bang.
I mean, look, I think that they sort of do it differently now. Like, I think if you go and get tested and you discover that you have an STI, I think that the clinics that you go to and the doctors will say, hey, write down the phone numbers of anybody that you've had contact with, and they contact them and they go, hey, heads up, someone you know has come in. And I think they'll leave you anonymous.
Mm.
But they say, someone's come in and you might want to get tested. But there was a time where good, responsible adults would call a person and say to them, hey, need to let you know I got tested for something and this has come up, and so now you might be at risk.
Yeah. Now, look, if you call in this morning with your story, you can stay anonymous. We can decode your voice as well, so no one's ever going to know who you are. Right? But, I'm genuinely interested in the way that goes and how you feel about doing it. I know there are people out there who would be happy to share their story, because we're getting all sorts of stories shared on the Pete and Kimber Show these days.
Yep.
And it's not about pointing the finger and pulling the piss or any of that sort of stuff.
No, we're
not about that on this show.
I have way more respect for a person who had the courage to call someone and say to them, hey, you need to get tested because this has happened,
100%.
Than the people who wimped out and kept it to themselves and then put however many other people at risk through their actions.
It's the responsible thing to do. But what I'm really interested in is, what was that conversation like? How did that person take it? How long did it take you to pluck up the courage to actually do it? How did you find out, and did it blow your mind? The other thing as well is that you might be helping people out there who are currently living this experience, thinking to themselves, I don't know if I need to tell someone. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm embarrassed, so on and so forth. You might be able to ease their mind a little bit.
Well, especially when we talk about how many people have been saying that everyone ghosts lately, I wonder whether they even bother to contact you. And do you just do it by text or by call? So if you've ever had to tell someone that you have an STI and that they might need to get checked, how did you go about it?
Kieran in Wanneroo, good morning. So you found out that you had an STI.
I did. A pap test told me.
Oh, so you didn't even, the person didn't tell you?
No. I don't even know whether he knew. I had to tell him.
Oh, okay. So the results came back in a screening. And then how did you tell him? Was it someone that you had been with a few times? Were you like in a relationship or?
He had been my husband, but at the time was ex-husband.
No.
Wow, Kieran. Okay. Is there more to that?
Oh, well, of course there's always more, but he was a cheater for most of our marriage, you see.
Oh, no.
Sorry to hear that, Kieran. Okay. And is this the way that you found out?
Yes, with a pap test, yes.
No, as in, like, not the STI, but found out, like, he was a cheater and all of that sort of stuff.
Oh, no. I'd found that out earlier.
So I guess, was it a bit easier to tell him because you would have been furious, I guess? Was it just like a, well, here's another, you know, kick in the guts, thanks very much?
Well, to me, it was a kick in the guts, but I didn't know where he was or a number at the time. I had to send a letter via someone else.
What? So did he? How did he handle it? Did he hear back? Did you hear back from him?
I have no idea. I don't even know whether he ultimately got the letter. So, you know, there were probably others he was should have told.
I only had
to tell one person.
How long ago was this, Kieran?
Oh, more than 25 years now.
And you've never, to long this time. Day, you've never bumped into him again, never spoken to him again, and that's never come up?
Well, no, it's never come up. He has had contacted me a while ago, but it never came up, no. Didn't think about it.
Wowee.
I got over it.
Well, you know, clearly. That's the thing. Like, you're already fuming at that point, aren't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, good on you for at least trying to reach out. See, that's the thing. There were obstacles in the way.
Yeah.
And Kieran still went, okay, I'll get as far as writing a letter. I mean, you're basically sending a homing pigeon at this point, aren't you? Like, I've run out of all the other options.
Michael in Belden, good morning and thanks for your call. So you're the one that has an STI and you've told people.
Yes. When I first got together with my ex-wife, after a couple of weeks of dating, I built up the courage and told her that, yes, I have STI, I've got herpes. And she goes, oh, really? Well, so do I. And we both had it prior to the relationship. And we were together for 14 years, and then I got back out on the dating scene, and I was worried about telling other people, the women that I was with. And after the first person I told was really like, oh, no, we can work through that because, you know, there's drugs you can take to help suppress it, and, you know, it's not always there. So and you know when it's coming up because you can feel it and stuff like that. So it's actually really, it actually helped me go, oh, okay, cool.
Sorry, so what do you mean you can feel it? I'm not familiar. Like, what do you mean?
Okay, so herpes, you have this tingling before you have an outbreak, basically. Right. So it starts feeling a bit itchy, and then you get the sores, and then once you have the sores, you're contagious.
Oh, I remember the old Zyrax. I remember the old Zyrax ads back in the day.
Yeah, it's like
when you feel the tingle.
Same thing as like a cold sore. Cold sore.
More open to all the girls that I was starting to date, and now I'm with my current girlfriend who accepted it, and we're working through it.
So. Michael, do you reckon that like having these kind of conversations have helped that sort of thing, where people understand it's a bit more common? Because I would imagine absolutely. In the beginning that's really scary, having to tell a person.
Well, when you think about it, 1 in 6 people have herpes.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And so definitely talking about it allows people to get rid of the stigma, I guess.
Yeah, and then, you know, you can say to your partner, look, I've got an outbreak coming up. Let's just not do anything for the next week or two. And you go to the doctor, you get your medication, and it helps get rid of it quickly.
And there's a lot of people out there going longer than a week or two most times anyway.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, mate, you're a regular caller to us and appreciate you listening, but also appreciate you just jumping in on this to let us know your story, man. Thanks a lot.
Oh, no worries. My pleasure.
Pete and Kimber's Throwback Thursday. Do you
remember? Love this. A lot of massive things happen on this show. That's why the news comes knocking to us quite often and goes, hey, we need your story. This is amazing. Here's another one. Let's relive some throwback.
Throwback Thursday, it's a good time. I mean, I don't know if I wanted to throw back to this one, though, because there was this bloke, Ben Darcy, who lives over east, and for some reason, he's super affected by the vegan activist Tash Peterson. So affected that he said, I'm going to fly over to Perth and I'm going to organise a horrible barbecue on her front lawn where we're going to cook up a bunch of meats.
I think in his mind, he's going, I'm going to give her a taste of her own medicine.
I know what he was thinking.
Oh, okay.
I just think it was a really stupid thought. Yeah. But anyway, we got them both on the phone together because we thought maybe they can just hash it out. Let's have them talk it through. And maybe we'll just find our differences and that will be fine.
Yeah.
Except it didn't go well at all.
Have a listen to this. Ben, good morning, mate.
Good morning. How's it going?
And
yeah, good.
Tash, hi. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So I guess we start this off by going, Ben, you are organising a public protest suggesting that more than 500 people are going to go and rock up to Tasha's front lawn. Why are you doing this?
Because she's a pest and most WA residents are sick of her.
Tash, how do you feel about the idea that this random bloke has just decided to throw a protest at your house and has a bunch of people coming to your private place?
It doesn't really bother me at all. In fact, I'm going to disrupt their protest because they think they're giving me a taste of my own medicine and they're trying to do what I do. But they're actually doing the opposite of what I do because they're going to be cooking the bodies of murder victims, the very victims that I'm speaking up for, and they're going to be doing that out the front of my house. So I'll be protesting that. That's disgusting. They're inciting violence by cooking those murder victims. This is not about me or them. It's about the trillions of animals who are brutally murdered every year for the sake of human pleasure. It's not necessary to be eating animals or animal products in this day and age.
Ben, I mean, you look, there's a direct line to you guys. You can speak to each other. Ben, feel free to speak to Tash. Like, what are the things you're going to be doing while you're on the front lawn of her house here in Perth?
Well, we're going to have a big barbecue cook-up, steaks, sausages, bottles of water, everything will be provided. Anyone that wants to come along, I'm sorry there's no vegan options, Tash. If you want something cooked, feel free to bring it yourself, and we'll be more than happy to oblige. We're not trying to exclude anyone here, but this is predominantly a meat protest. People aren't going to stop eating meat no matter what you say.
It's obviously ridiculous. Working because you're really, really triggered, mate. You're like completely contradicting yourself. One minute you say that it's good for all these businesses, and the other minute you're saying, oh, we need to shut her down. So, you know, what one is it? It's obviously working. More people are watching Dominion because of me. I have thousands of messages from people around the world saying that they've become vegan and watched the Dominion documentary. And the world is changing, and it's time to evolve and stop being an animal abuser. And do not cook the murdered bodies of victims outside of my house, or otherwise expect me to just disrupt the shit out of it.
Well, feel free, if you want to disrupt the shit out of it, feel free, go right ahead. As I said, you're more than welcome. Just please try and keep your clothes on, because there's going to be kids around.
Ben, do you
not... There's nothing wrong with that.
Ben, do you sort of see the irony in what you're doing? You're saying she's not going to stop the meat industry. There's nothing Tash can do, whatever she can say. Look, I'm Veggio. I don't have a problem with what Tash says. I don't necessarily agree with the way she's doing it. I would be the same about religion. I'd be the same about anything. Anyone that's too much anything and does that. I don't know that it works. But can you not see the irony in what you're doing, intentionally bringing this to her yard, into her private safe space as well, that, like, for no reason, you're not involved in the industry, it's got nothing to do with you, you're just doing it to poke the bear. You see how that makes you look like a bit of a dickhead?
Well, look, her way of protesting is a bad way of protesting. So instead of trying to bring people up to a higher level, let's all get on the same level. Let's play the same game as her. And if she stops her disruptive protest, we'll stop having barbecues outside our
house. So you are stooping low.
As long as we can agree that it's a bad idea.
Hang on. So you say, sorry, I get what you're saying about Ben not being in the industry. I get that. But also,
he's just saying if you can't beat him, join him. He is stooping low.
No, he is stooping low. Sure, right? But sometimes you have to feed someone their own medicine to give them an understanding of what it is that they're putting everybody else through. Like Ben.
How many of those 500 protesters do you reckon had their dinner interrupted by Tash? How many people do you think it? Just let it go.
Probably all 500 of them,
just
to be honest with you.
Just let it go.
Because they've been to Belmont, they've been to Fire, they've been to this butcher, that butcher,
those mob gear. You're all just jumping on board. It doesn't make it right.
My concern with all of this, and I'll tell you this, both you, Tash and Ben, my concern with both of this and why I want both of you to just go away, like I want both of you to go away and go and get on with your lives. My concern is that one day, one of you doing this, you're going to come across the wrong person who hasn't had enough, where they just want to, you know, come and do a barbecue on your front lawn, Tash. They've had enough where they actually want to neck you. Like that's my concern, that this is going to go somewhere ultimately dangerous, and we don't need to see that.
Mm. Well, first and foremost,
unfortunately, that's something I'm willing to risk, because right now in this moment as we speak, there are literally billions of animals forced into slaughterhouses, having their throats slit and babies taken away from their mothers in the dairy industry. I'm not stopping what I'm doing until this Holocaust ends, and it needs to end now. Stop paying for this to happen. If you're not vegan, you are responsible for this abuse and murder.
Sorry, Tash, I don't believe the tears. I don't believe them. I do not believe them whatsoever.
No, I don't either.
And that's because you guys don't care about what she cares about.
Because
that's
you're
okay.
An animal.
It's okay.
I care about
you
the animal
feel guilty that you have blood on your hands.
Hang on a sec. Oh, I'm just going to bring that down go. For a moment. Oh, boy. Are you okay? It's a bit warm in here.
I was fine. It was a mild disagreement.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, hearing it back, I think I liked you a little less.
Hey, don't let this turn on our friendship, all right? Let's go into the Easter holidays being friends again so we can come back, have a nice rest of the year.
Pete and Kimber's yay or nay.
Hello, Rami.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Dressed like a bunny this morning.
Thanks.
I love all these rabbit ears we got going on.
They're very cute. Although you guys haven't put your Easter bunny hats on. Why?
I keep taking them off because I keep knocking them off with my headphones.
Well, I'm wearing headphones right now with them on.
Okay.
No, you just the no best. Excuses. Anyway, yay or nay.
We have got our tails on, though.
That's
I do.
Mine fell off.
Of course it did.
Mine popped.
You're a bit too wide. Some would say. I didn't say that.
You can't say that.
some would say that.
It is 2024. You can't say that.
Wait till you hear this yay and nay then.
You filthy Mexican.
Three topics, 3 seconds. Oh, my God. This is an Easter-themed yay or nay.
Good.
To work for these ones because okay. It's weren't easy. First one, doing an Easter egg hunt as an adult.
3, 2, 1.
Yay. We've got one around the office today, and I'm thrilled.
Oh, glad someone is.
They've gone and hidden, and also they're not all the same size egg. So they're like, there's extra special eggs, so they're kind of like whichever egg you find is the one you get to keep.
So there's small and large ones. How big are the big ones?
I don't know, but they're just saying you want to choose your egg carefully. Don't just go for the first egg you find. Maybe go and have a look around.
I can see one. Oh, no, that's Speedy's head.
Oh.
Oh, hang on.
That's the boss trying to get... Pete's trying to be cancelled.
God, I think we're all cancelled.
I want a longer break.
Second one. Hot cross buns with sultanas should all be binned.
3, 2, 1.
Yay.
Nay.
Oh, love you, Kimber.
I think all hot cross buns should be binned.
No, the chocolate ones are fine.
Chocolate's not bad.
Yeah.
But every other hot cross bun variety.
Why?
Bin them.
They're gross.
They're not gross. They're lovely.
They are the most overrated food going around.
Oh, my God. You know what? I thought we were going to get cancelled early on in the piece. This is when it happens. Right now.
It happens every year. This is when you all realise I hate Nutella. I hate hot cross buns. I hate apple pie. I don't make apologies for it. They're all some of the most rubbish foods there are.
Take those bunny ears off. You don't deserve to wear those.
No, I think it's fine.
No, lovely.
Well,
nice and fresh. You put them in the... You heat them up a little bit. Put a bit of butter. Beautiful.
Yeah, you have to heat them up because on their own, rubbish.
Quick question. Can you get hot cross buns throughout the year or do they only make them around Easter?
They only make them straight after Boxing Day. As soon as Christmas is over, Boxing Day,
right,
you can
next?
Get yourself some hot cross buns.
And final one, going to church on Easter.
3, 2, 1.
Yay.
Nay.
Yay.
Do you go to church on Easter?
Well, here's the thing. Yesterday, because my girls are now going to a Catholic school, yesterday...
Going in to pick them up from school doesn't count. That's not going to church.
That's not church.
Shush, the people who go to the school listen. Stop it.
Okay.
She actually came to me and said, Dad, can you take me to Mass on Sunday? Can we go to Easter Mass on Sunday? So we'll be going along.
This sounds like an unlikely story.
No, it's legit.
I put on a lot of Mass on Easter Sunday.
I feel like us three would just burn on entry in the church.
Back in 2014, Rebel Wilson and Sacha Baron Cohen starred in one of his movies together called Grimsby. They played a hot couple.
Hiya.
Start the love of my life, don't I?
I missed you so much.
Me too.
Right, kids, out.
Out, listen to your mum, out quick.
I got something very important that I need to tell your dad.
What is it?
I lost my panties.
You sure your hasn't eaten them again?
The Brothers Grimsby.
Yeah. Now, like Sacha Baron Cohen, obviously, you know, since Ali G, all of those sorts of movies, he's known for being a pretty controversial figure. He's absolutely, with Borat and those kind of characters, he's really pushed the envelope with that kind of stuff. And at the time, Rebel Wilson had made statements saying that, you know, he had, I guess, asked her to do things in the scenes that she wasn't very comfortable with, but... She'd been saying for the last couple of years, I worked with this a-hole. I worked with this person who... And she never really outed him.
Mm.
And now she's writing a memoir. She's trying to get her book out. And Sacha Baron Cohen is going, no, I'm going to veto this book. He's trying to block the release of it using lawyers and whatnot. And she's gone, okay, I'm not going to be silenced. Everybody, the a-hole is him.
Sacha Baron Cohen. She's dedicated an entire chapter to him being an a-hole.
Yeah. Now, she said, look, I'm not going to be silenced. I'm talking about it in this book because everybody needs to know and we need to stop this stuff happening in Hollywood. And, you know, she said that while they were working together, there were plenty of times where he asked her to go naked in a scene, asked her to do nudity for different scenes. And she said, I don't do nudity. And she said, it felt like he kept asking me over and over and over, even though I said no. And then she said on one occasion... They'd filmed a scene and at the end of filming the scene, he took his pants down and asked her to insert a digit.
See, this is the big thing, isn't it? Because when we were sort of floating around this morning, we were kind of like, oh, maybe he was just pitching a bit of content. Maybe he was just like, I've got this idea. You know, people sit around and they go, I've got this idea. Maybe we shoot the scene like this. For her to actually say no, like they had finished and wrapped everything up, and then he's still gone ahead without asking and without her suggesting it, just dropped his pants. That's massive.
It's all pretty icky. And I think at the moment, like, he has shut down his socials because people were piling in on his page going, this is inappropriate, you're out of line, and he's shut it down. But Isla Fisher, his wife, Australian actress Isla Fisher, she hasn't shut hers down. So now she's being bombarded with stuff, with people saying all these things about her husband, which she doesn't deserve. But the whole thing is, it's awful.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, like, the people will probably start speculating. Poor Isla Fisher, because she'll get dragged into this now, right? Like, people will probably start speculating about their relationship. And I don't know, trying to make her understand, oh, maybe this guy's he's a pig. Maybe he's, you know, do you know this about your husband and all of that sort of stuff? Wait for that to come out. That's on its way.
Oh, and it's hard because it is that time where, you know, like some of the comments that she'd made about him being inappropriate were back as far as 2014.
But she laughed him off back then.
Yeah.
Like she would talk about it and then she'd sort of laugh them off. And then the last... She's had a bit of a change of personality the last few years. I'm not excusing what he's done, if it's actually true, and you know. But she's had a bit of a change of personality. She's got a lot more serious in the last few years.
Look, I'm going to say though, I think that a lot of the time we're sort of conditioned to laugh it off,
as in women.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, like, even I try to tell my nieces and other young women, like, there are many times where someone in the office or someone has come to you, a bloke's come and he said something inappropriate, and because you feel awkward about it, you go, and instead of putting it back on them, so I'm trying to condition them to now say, why is that funny? And make him explain himself, because when he goes to explain why he thinks it's funny, he realizes it's inappropriate and then he feels awkward.
Yep.
And I feel like if you're going to be that and you're going to put that on a person, you should own that yourself.
Well, there's been a dramatic change, right, in the last few years in terms of the perception, women having the confidence to come out now and go, no, this actually happened and I don't have to laugh it off.
Yeah.
The memoir is called Rebel Rising. It's out now.
Take That are bringing their This Life tour to RAC Arena Wednesday, October 30. With support act Sophie Ellis-Bextor. Get your tickets now, frontiertouring.com. And with Mix 94.5's Pete and Kimber, take this for Take That. I just want
you back. That's right, this year Take That, bringing their This Life tour to RAC Arena Wednesday, October 30, with support act Sophie Ellis-Bextor. You can get your tickets now. Just head to frontiertouring.com for details. We had tickets to give away, but you had to get out of your comfort zone to pick them up.
Well, we sort of thought, it's up to you guys what you want to do for tickets. How far are you prepared to go? So we said, what are you willing to do that's going to make you uncomfortable? And we'll call it Take This for Take That. We have done some weird things. Or you have, Mix Fam, you have. Adrian is petrified of heights. So Adrian said, look, I'll do something with heights if you give me the Take That ticket. So we took on a little excursion to the roof of Optus Stadium for the ozone experience.
I can feel like the muscles on the top of my legs are like rocks.
Are they starting to contract now though?
Yes, big time.
Out of fear?
Yes.
You haven't looked down yet, have you?
No, I don't want to do that. Should I look down? Nah, I think I'll wait until after I do the tricks.
So, what are you feeling in your right hand?
Yeah,
so
it's like, look at the colour of my fingers.
Bring this foot just a tiny bit forward. Forward. That's it.
God, I'm so brave.
That's okay.
Don't touch me.
Wait back, let the harness do the work, okay?
Yes, I'll let go. No.
Yes. You already did, so let go. That's it. Nope, don't hold on to me.
I don't want to look.
I can fly.
Lock this oh my god, I don't believe I'm doing this.
Lock this knee in.
I now want you to look over your shoulder.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh,
she handled it really well.
Yeah.
She was giggling most of the way.
Well, the ozone experience is this thing, top of Optus Stadium, where they get you to put your heels right on the edge of the platform that sits out. It's over the top of the oval, and then you have to let go of everything and just trust the harness.
You did it.
Yeah, and it was terrifying.
It sort of took you about six goes. I wasn't brave enough to do it at all. I just didn't even do it. Well, Hannah also wanted Take That ticket, so she was afraid of people touching and sniffing her hair. So we got a bunch of creeps in the office to come in and do exactly that.
The weirdest one is people ask me to sniff my hair.
Because you've got really tight, curly hair, but yeah, that it hangs down. And so, but people ask if they can sniff it.
Yeah. So normally the question is your hair real? And then we get asked, you know, if someone can touch it.
Touch it.
So I'm like, okay, that's fine. And they might like spring a curl down.
Yeah.
But then the odd person does ask me to sniff it.
And what do they get out of it? Is it like a kink or something? Or
I don't know. I've no don't idea. Want to think about it.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever right. That kink might be.
Yeah, no, you're right. So rare in life to get those, you know, real genuine surprises. And congratulations, because this is one of them.
Thank you.
Bring forth the creeps. There we go. Sorry, is it okay if we touch and sniff
yes,
your hair?
That's so pretty.
Oh, that smells good.
Get
this
right in
is
there.
So weird.
Can I take some of that?
No, you can't. Cut. Cool, then. You can. It's just
so somebody like Rami, get right in the back there and sniff it. Just. Is that good?
It's giving me goosebumps.
You know what?
Smells like shampoo.
Can I chew it?
Pantene. I'd like a sniff too.
Oh, that smells good.
Did I hear someone say, can I chew it?
That was speedy.
Pack of weirdos.
That was the boss.
All right. Well, Beck also wanted to take that tickets, and Beck is afraid of things that can sting you. Mm. So we thought, let's make her hold a scorpion.
As you do.
How are you feeling about the scorpion?
I don't know. I don't. Yeah.
Have you seen a scorpion before?
Not in real life. On TV, but not actually in person. Tell is us. It venomous?
Yes.
So they have a mildly venomous stinger on their tail.
What if it bites me?
They
nips me.
They don't bite us. They sting.
Okay, so what if it stings me?
He's not going to sting you.
Oh, wow. That, yeah, that's close enough.
Do you want to hold it?
No.
Go on, I can hold its tail. You put your hand on
it. No, because what if you let go of its tail by accident?
I won't let go of its tail. Go, put your hand
on. I can't. Up. How long do I have to hold it for?
1 second.
Yeah, go.
One, two, three.
Oh, it's moving.
Just put your fist out like that and you'll tackle. Ready? One.
Oh, f***, it's moving.
Yeah. One, two.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've done it. Oh, I just peed a little bit.
Wow, people really want to go and see Take That.
They certainly do. And they all got their Take That tickets. Congrats to them all. Take That, bringing their This Life Tour to RAC Arena Wednesday, October 30 with support act Sophie Ellis-Bextor. If you want your tickets, frontiertouring.com for details.
Now that it's Friday, before we go away, the producers are here for one final say to reflect on the week, the great and the crap, to bring you something they call the producer rap.
We forgot to revoice that. We really should have done that.
You can't get it right every time. Let's face it, it's got Friday vibes. That's good enough.
Honestly, it's got Saturday vibes. It's got Saturday night vibes in the studio.
Meanwhile, people are tools downing because they're thinking they're working on a good Friday right at this particular point in time.
Ask for more money.
Hi, boys.
Hi. We're here to bring you some of our favourite moments of the week, Pete and Kimber.
Yes.
And I tell you what, it's been a long week when I tell you that on Monday we spoke with adult film star Apollo.
Was that only on Monday?
The Apollo show. That was
Guys,
Monday.
Guys, I feel like we're putting too much into the show.
We heard from Jack Black on Monday.
Oh my
That's
goodness.
Right, we did too.
What a week it's been. But that is one of my favourite moments of the show.
And people listening to this show. It's been one of the biggest amount of downloads we've ever had on this show, the Apollo show. So was Jack Black. Kimmy, you did a great job.
No, I'm Apollo really glad show. That your adult entertainment star was more downloaded than Jack Black.
Tips People and love eggplants.
Well, my favourite part of that chat was he said a lot of things that we couldn't quite put to air. And this little string of conversation was my favourite because this is how much we had to bleep of it.
Yeah. The environment matters. How have you set your room up?
So basically, I have an apartment where we then we do a little interview for our pages, do a few and then we're into the bedroom where I've got and off we go.
Have you got a lot of leather furniture? Is everything just wiped down gear?
And off we go.
Do you remember the days
That's why everyone went to the podcast, because they couldn't hear anything on this show.
Yeah, the fully unedited stuff's on the podcast.
Remember the days this station used to do, what's your favourite sandwich filling?
Well, we did. The times have changed. Just the answers are different now. another highlight of this week. It's going to be hot for this papa.
Another favourite part of this week. We introduced something new on the show this week. It's called the Wheel of Inappropriate Questions.
Oh,
where basically, if you don't know how a wheel works, we spin the wheel. On each number, there's a question. And it's that simple. You have to ask the question that is there. And Pete and Kimber, you guys have to answer the question, right? This moment was the very first time we did it. Kimber was the one that had to spin the wheel. And Kered was in the studio asking the question. And this is how it went.
I'm so glad this one came up.
Oh, no.
What is it?
Fire, shag, or marriage?
Nah.
Producer Rami, producer Kered, and our boss Speedy.
Okay,
this is a HR nightmare waiting
for Hang on. So it's Rami, Kered, and Speedy.
Yes, fire, shag, or marriage.
Oh, okay.
God, you're shagging Kered, aren't you? I mean, really.
I mean, I think
look at him, he's beautiful.
I think we're shagging Kered.
Okay.
I think.
Did you hear that, Rami?
It's nothing
Rami's
personal.
So disappointed.
My body can't handle Rami's twerking.
You do have to have an answer for this.
Okay, I think I'm going to marry Rami.
Oh, you lucky man.
And I'm going to fly a Speedy.
But no one wants Speedy.
Sorry, Speedy.
I felt really bad hearing that back. Everyone
it was
wants
a,
you, Speedy.
It was a lose-lose for me. There was no way I couldn't answer anything without upsetting one of you.
I think you won, though, by marrying. Oh, mate.
No,
sorry, by shagging.
He's marrying you.
Just shag and marry Kered. Everyone wants to. Come on. The Pete and Kimber Podcast.